I want to read for you my life's the verse that I have read, I almost can say every week since I've been here. I can say nearly every week, and perhaps, listen to me now, no talking, and perhaps every week. These have been my verses for my ministry here. When they were come to him, he said to them, "You know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you in all seasons," that word season means all occurrences, every kind of a situation, "serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but it showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, so that I might finish my course with joy. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Very few weeks have I walked this pulpit on a Sunday without having read that passage first. I want to speak tonight on the subject, and it's more of a talk than a sermon, because the unusual day and the unusual atmosphere of this service, I want to speak to you on the subject when I almost stumbled. When I almost stumbled. Brother Jack Scott said to me something one day that prompted me to write two books. He said, "Brother Hiles," he's our preacher, he said, "you've made a science of the Christian life. You've made a science of the Christian life." I'm going to share with you tonight a little scientific study that I made about a part of the Christian life and my ministry here. And I read for you just one other verse that was my text verse tonight. "My mother's children were angry with me." Now, why? This is a shepherd, by the way. This is a shepherd lad. "My mother's children were angry with me." Why? It says, "They made me keepers of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Our Father, help me tonight. Help me now to, in turn, help those who helped me. And may I encourage those who encouraged me and feed those who fed my soul and spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be as brief as I can without shortchanging you. "Mine own vineyard," they made me keeper of the vineyards, "my own vineyard have I not kept." I had the fastest growing church in the world in Garland, Texas. We won't go into the statistics. You've heard me give them many times. But it was acclaimed by Christian periodicals all over America as the world's fastest growing church. I began to get invitations from all over America and around the world. And then I came to this church and the invitations multiplied. I mean, you wouldn't believe the people that asked me to preach for them. Not only did I get thousands of invitations to go to churches, but invitations to go to meetings of all sizes. The Nazarenes asked me to preach for their national convention. The Church of God asked me to preach for their national convention. Would you believe it? The United Methodist Church asked me to preach for their national convention. You won't believe this one at all. I have a letter in my file from the Jehovah Witnesses asking, I'm sorry, Seventh-day Adventists. Jehovah Witnesses are next. I'm speaking there next month. But the Seventh-day Adventists wrote me from their headquarters in Dallas and asked me if I'd speak at their national convention. Literally, invitations began to come from all over the world. The Gideon's International asked me to speak for their national convention. The National Christian Booksellers Convention, I actually spoke there at the big Coliseum in St. Louis, the National Christian Booksellers Convention. Now, of course, I could not and I would not accept many of these invitations. However, I began to travel. I did not travel for the first year, but then I began to travel. And I caught myself just in time. If I had not done what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, we would not be here tonight. No Hammond Baptist Schools would be here. No Howells Anderson College would be here. And certainly I would not still be here if I had not caught myself. I watched the other pastors who traveled. I watched their works go down. I watch them get more interested in speaking out of town than serving at home. I watch them as they lost interest in their churches and lost their... And that's one thing I thank God for. I thank God I got the same dreams and visions that I had back yonder 40 years ago. But I watch these preachers as they began to preach and travel. And you fellows on the platform and you guys that travel here, you watch it very, very carefully. If you don't watch out, you'll enjoy speaking away more than you enjoy working here. And that's one of the things that will wreck your ministry and wreck your life. I watched these men begin to resign their churches for what they call the will of God, but nothing more than they had fallen in love with a ministry that was not their main ministry. I watched them as they went into full-time counseling ministries and became Bible conference speakers across America and resigned their churches for politics and the moral majority and the Christian school movement and evangelism. I'm thinking of one of the largest churches in America at the time. If I called the pastor's name, you would know it. Built one of the great churches in America. And then he became enchanted with speaking somewhere. And his invitations that he was getting. And before you knew it, he lost the interest. I thank God tonight. I'd rather preach right where I'm standing tonight than anywhere in the entire world. I thank God for that tonight. I thank God tonight that this is my first love. And by the way, I almost stumbled and got more enchanted with the traveling around the country than I did my own people. But I saw them. And I made some decisions, some serious decisions as follows. And I wrote these things down. I'm giving them to you tonight, the decisions I made. And I'm using as the text, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And I decided that I was going to spend my time and my heart was going to be in my own vineyard, not the vineyards across America, and my own church and not the churches across America. Number one, I decided to do all my studying for you. I never prepare a sermon for anywhere where I preach. Now, all of my studying is done for you. I warm them over where I go. They get leftovers. And I saw a sign in a restaurant one time that says, "All things cometh to him who orders hash." And that's exactly what people get around the country. They get hash, warmed over from First Baptist Church. But I made a vow to God many years ago when I was tempted, as other preachers have. Because, you know, I go other places and I get standing ovations everywhere I go. I don't want them here. I want them every 40 years. But I don't want you standing every time I walk in here on Sunday morning and give me a standing ovation. But everywhere else I go, I get them. I'm getting older and I'm sort of the patriarch of our type of fundamentalism but I decided that I was going to study all my studying you. Number two, I decided to preach warmed over sermons out of town. Number three, I decided to do my counseling for you. Mr. McKinney will tell you how many times people write me from all over America. I've got them now lined up. Brother Hiles, I need to see you. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. I need to see you, Brother Hiles. My church is having a problem. I've got a problem. I've got to see you. I promised God that I would not see over three of those people a week. And now for these many years, I've limited my outside counseling folks coming. Folks, they fly from California to spend 30 minutes with me. That is certainly worth the while. But they do. They fly all over the country. Had a fellow flew from Canada just the other day to spend 30 minutes in my office. He had a problem in his church, wanted some help, wanted some advice. But I made God a promise years ago that I would not have over three appointments, listen to me now, over three appointments a week from outside. I decided not only to do all of my studying for you and to do my counseling for you, I decided to spend my time away from you for you. You see, when I'm gone, I've got you in mind. I studied my time away and scheduled it. Let me tell you what I've got written down. I've had it in my office written down for years. I am gone about 54 hours. I have been all these years, 54 hours a week. I don't go every week anymore. I go about every other week, but for almost 40 years, I've traveled every week except vacation, Bible school, and pastor school week. And I've gone, I figured out, I'm gone an average of 54 hours. And here is what I promised God I would do. I will sleep 14 of those hours. I will spend 6 of those hours eating meals. I will spend 12 of those hours in services elsewhere. I'm talking about preaching and being in the services. I'll spend 6 of those hours average traveling. and I'll spend 16 of those 54 hours for you. What I mean, I'm talking about studying for the sermons. I'm talking about preparing Bible studies. I'm talking about praying for you. You know your pastor every day prays through this auditorium. You know every day I start up here in this section, and I pray for everybody I can think of that sits up there. Then I go across like this and pray like that, and then across like this, and then in the choir. And I promise God that I would spend 16 hours of the 2 days a week that I'm gone for you. Number six, I decided to always, and I love this, I decided years ago to always give something new and fresh to Ms. Hyams. I love to be fresh with Mrs. Hyams. And so I decided to be fresh, be fresh too, Mrs. Hyams. And I promise God, every sermon I preach, I put something in it that I think is fresh to her that'll feed her. Because she's heard me preach all through these years. Now, if she can get something new and fresh, then you can get something new and fresh. And so I made that vow to God years ago. Then I decided that you would be my first love. I'll tell you the name. Bill Harvey said to me one time, he said, "Brother Jack, how is it that you get so excited preaching in your own church?" And he said, "I have to have new faces. I got to have new faces that don't know me and that are excited to get to see me. But I decided to make you my first love. I also decided, as I said a while ago, to enjoy preaching here than any other place in the world. I mean that, Brother Mike, you've been here again and again and again, and you know I love to preach anywhere, but my favorite spot to preach is here on the, I start to say right here, but I seldom stay here except on anniversary days, but I'm trying to be dignified. This is a formal occasion tonight, as you can see around here. And, I decided to spend at least 20 hours a week in prayer. Most of those hours are praying for you and your families and your work and your need. Mrs. Hiles and I were talking the other day. She asked me about my prayer list and how I get to pray for everybody and how do you pray for all the people you're supposed to pray for. And we had a little talk about her prayer list and my prayer list. I decided I have not walked in this pulpit for years, not on a Sunday morning, without having spent at least 20 hours in prayer. And most of those prayers are for you. I decided, number 10, to give you 80 hours a week of work. A week of work. I decided to be sure that I worked 80 hours a week in my ministry here in this church. I decided to spend at least 4 hours in preparation for every funeral I preach. I never walk in this pulpit to preach a funeral without having spent at least 4 hours preparing my mind and my heart and my message for that funeral. I made God a promise that I would spend at least 4 hours preparing my heart and preparing every wedding that we have. There's not been a wedding we've had here in many years that I've not spent at least 4 hours in preparation for that wedding. I promised God I would see the greenest grass was on my side of the fence. Boy, I wish I could get that to you guys. I wish I could get the greenest grass is on my side of the fence. I happen to like my church better than your church. I happen to like my deacon chairman better than your deacon chairman. I happen to like my staff better than your staff. I happen to like my wife better than your wife. Somebody said one time, isn't it wonderful that everybody is different? They said, if everybody had been the same, everybody would want to marry my wife. I said, no, if everybody had been like me, nobody had ever married your wife. But I thank God tonight that to me, the grass on my side of the fence is the greenest grass in the whole world. And then I decided not to have to say someday, mine own vineyard have I not kept. I have not been perfect. I have made mistake after mistake. But I can honestly say tonight, my own vineyard have I tried to keep. This young man, the young shepherd lad, he said, my family got mad at me. Oh, why did they get mad at you? He said, because they made me keepers of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. We started 30 years ago, Hammond Baptist High School. I stood before you and told you that I felt like God wanted to start a high school. I made you two promises that day. I promised you, number one, in all the schools that we would start, number one, you'd get to keep two things. One, you'd keep your buildings. And we've never had a classroom in a building here on this corner. I don't think it's sinful. I thank God that our kids, when they go to church on Sunday, it's not the same place they go all week long. I promised you that you'd get to keep the buildings. The second promise I made you as Dark Drive Schools is that you'd get to keep your preacher. And by the way, you've done that. I've not spent my time at the schools. I spent my time as pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I've kept my hand on the schools. I've guided the schools. But even when I meet with the men in the schools, 90% of the time, we meet in my office because it so happens I'm not the educator here. I'm the preacher here. I'm the pastor of this church. And I'm not going to die someday and say, the vineyards out at Crown Point have I kept, but my Hammond vineyard have I not kept. I'm not going to say someday, the vineyard in Sherrville I've kept, but my Hammond vineyard have I not kept. And I've kept that promise. I said again, watch it, staff men. Watch it. You're mighty good preachers. The best preachers in America just about sit on this platform and from time to time and are on my staff here. You better watch it. You're mighty good preachers. And you are more glamorous to strangers than you are here. But the stop your Sunday school class is not going to give you a standing ovation Sunday morning. They don't like you that much. And Brother Hooker, you've developed into a wonderful preacher, and so many folks have spoken about preaching. But you're not going to get the same response here from the Seders back there that you're going to get when you preach somewhere. But be careful. And I'm not just pointing you two fellows out. All of you fellows that speak around the country, be careful. If you don't watch out, you can spend your time with more enthusiasm about preaching. And when you get the place where you'd rather preach somewhere else than do the work of God in your own church, then call 911. You need some help desperately, and I'll answer and come and talk to you. I've made mistakes, but I've not neglected my own vineyard. Now let me apply that to you. Their marriages have I helped, but mine own marriage have I not helped. Don't be so wrapped up in helping the marriages of your Sunday school class and neglect your own marriage. Don't be so wrapped up, ladies who travel around the country, and I'm not against it at all. But I want to say this, don't you be so wrapped up in helping the marriages of America and your own marriage have you not helped. Their marriages have I helped. My own marriage have I not helped. That little lady stood beside me a while ago. She's a charming public speaker. She has a way about her that just, so it's the osmosis, that sweet little southern drawl. I heard a man on the radio the other day, a Chicago man on the news. Somebody said, if you had one wish in the whole world and you could get one wish granted, what would you wish? And he said, I could wish that every woman had a southern accent. Now, that little gal, she weaves her way in the hearts of people, and she could be booked solid every week of the year. But she does not do that. Why? Because she's taking care of her own marriage at home. And I want to say this. You just be gone as much as you can be gone, and keep your own marriage what it ought to be. Don't say someday, by the way, Cindy, our daughter, wonderful speaker, wonderful speaker. She could look solid all year long, but she doesn't. In fact, I think she only goes where you go now. Why? Because she's not going to say one of these days, other marriages have I helped, and my own marriage have I not helped. May I apply it somewhere else? Other children have I taught, but my children have I not taught. Let me ask you Sunday school teachers a question tonight. You taught this morning for 30 minutes, somebody else's children. Have you taught your children 30 minutes in the last week? Hey, think about that a minute. You taught somebody else's children this morning in Sunday school for 30 minutes. Have you spent 30 minutes in the last 7 days teaching your own children? Other children have I kept, but my children have I not taught. That little girl back on the back row of the choir, she says she is. She'll tell you tonight that though I've been busy all these years, I have time for Cindy. I said last week or two ago that though our children are not perfect and our son David's made some mistakes, I'll tell you what, his dad didn't neglect him. At our household, when our kids were little, they learned, they memorized Psalm 1, Psalm 8, Psalm 19, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24, Psalm 51, Psalm 91, Psalm 100, Psalm 118, Psalm 121, Psalm 122, Psalm 126, Psalm 137, Psalm 145, Psalm 147, Psalm 148, Psalm 149, Psalm 150, 1 Corinthians 13, Romans 8, the Christmas story, and others. I'm trying to say,
If you teach a Sunday school class here, you'd be sure, dead sure, that you spend as much time teaching your children as you do somebody else's children.
Other vineyard, they made me keeper of the vineyards. My own vineyard have I not kept.
They made me keeper of others' marriages, but my own marriage have I not helped. They made me teachers of other children, but my own children have I not taught.
Other churches have I helped. My own church have I not helped. Ask a question tonight. You folks that speak elsewhere, see on the platform, ask a question tonight. Are you helping your own church as much as you're helping other churches? What are you doing here? What are you doing at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana?
Hey, you do know this is your church, don't you? And you do know, Brother Jack Scott just the other day was speaking out of town, and he was starting a meeting on a Sunday night at his home church, and he was already out of town. He drove back here just to be in his Sunday school class in the Sunday morning service, and then drove back a couple of hundred miles to the place where he was speaking that night. Why? Because he happens to be a Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church Hammond. I don't think anybody can be right with God that's not actively participating in the work in his own church.
What are you doing for this church? Other, they made me keeper of the vineyards. My own vineyard have I not kept.
Their marriage, other marriages have I helped. My own marriage have I not helped. My own children, other children have I taught. My own children have I not taught. Other churches have I helped. My own church have I not helped. Get this. Other people have I loved. My own people have I not loved.
I was preaching in a church not long ago. One of the best-known preachers in America. If I called his name, everybody here would know his name, except those who are new Christians are visiting with us tonight. His wife said, Brother Hiles, could I talk with you a while? And I said, well, of course. I gave her about 30 minutes of my time. One of the offices there at the church. And here's what she said. She said, Brother Hiles, my husband loves the people. You have taught him to love his people, and he loves the people. He'll stand up in front of his people and say to them, I love you, and express his love to the people. But she said, Brother Hiles, I do not remember the last time that my husband walked up to me and said to me, I love you. Other people have I loved, but my own people have I not loved. Hey, bus workers, don't you love those bus kids more than you love your own children? Hiles Anderson College, married young people, don't you love those little bus kids more than you love your own children? And don't you spend more time on those bus kids than you spend on your own kids. I'm for the bus ministry. I'm for helping other people's vineyards. I'm for salvaging marriages. God knows I am. I'm for helping other people, other churches. But bless God, I want to take care of my own vineyard. Other bills have I paid, but my own bills have I not paid.
I've given money to others, perhaps some will say, but how about your bills? Other parents have I appreciated, but my own parents have I not appreciated. Hey, kids, listen to me. That man, Ed Lapina, back there, you ought to love him. He's the best youth director in the world. Nobody like him. But he ought not to be close the way you love your mom and dad. You'll write notes to me, and I've got notes to many of our teenagers today. For the house, thank you for all you've done for me in my life. But I have not done 1,000th of you what your mom and dad has done.
Other adults have I appreciated, but my own parents have I not appreciated. I must hasten. Other people have I won to Christ, but my own people have I not won to Christ. You're sitting here tonight, some of the finest soul winners in this church have not witnessed your own loved ones in a long time. I'll close with this story because of time. One of my dear friends, years gone by, and having been preaching around the country since I was 29 years of age with the great preachers of America, one of my favorite friends of the last generation was a man named Jacob Gartenhaus. Jacob Gartenhaus was a Jew. He came to America, and he got saved. He was so pleased he accepted the Jesus as the Messiah. He was so excited, he went out on the streets of New York City and began to preach on the streets of New York City. And the Jews there
stoned him and hurled rocks at him and threw bricks at him and knocked him unconscious. But his father was a rabbi in a synagogue in Jerusalem. I've heard him tell this story many years ago. He passed away numbers of years ago also. He got burdened for his own dad back in Jerusalem. He gets on a plane, flies to Europe, changes planes, flies to Jerusalem, goes to his dad's synagogue, walks in his dad's synagogue, and says, "Dad," and his dad says, "I don't know you." "I'm Jacob." He had a very pronounced Jewish name. He said, "Father, I'm Jacob. I'm your son." And the father said, "My son is dead." For he had pronounced him dead and had a funeral service pronouncing his son dead when he got saved and accepted Jesus as the Messiah. "My son is dead." "But Daddy, I've come to tell you." He said, "My son is dead. My son is dead." And walked away. And Jacob Gartenhouse didn't even get to carry on a conversation with his dad after flying all the way to Jerusalem. He came back home. He got burdened for his dad. His dad got up in years. Dr. Gartenhouse again went to Jerusalem. He walked in the synagogue. His dad was in the main auditorium of the synagogue. And his dad looked up and said, Jacob, my boy Jacob. In the last years of his life, Jacob Gartenhouse got to tell his dad about the Savior. And he heard his rabbi dad in the synagogue cry out, "Yeshua! Yeshua! Jesus! Jesus! The Messiah! Jesus! The Messiah!" And he won his dad to Christ. "Other souls have I won, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. I belong to the foster club, but my own loved ones have I not won. I belong to the fisherman's club, but my own loved ones have I not won. I belong to the bus ministry, or the jail ministry, or the standard ministry, and thank God you do. Hey, but don't forget those who are your loved ones." And so, many years ago, I decided that I was going to give my life to this church. I decided that I was going to love this church first and have this church my first love. I was not going to get to my 40th anniversary here and have to say someday, "They made me keeper of the vineyards, but other vineyards have I not kept. They made me, other marriages have I helped, but mine own marriage have I not helped." Counselors, assistant pastors, staff members, speakers in demand. Is that your testimony? It'd be a shame if you'd go around the country telling folks how to have good marriages and your husband's home neglected. Other marriages have I helped. It'd be a shame for you to counsel here in our church in this area and say, "I'm helping others and salvaging marriages." And I look all over this room tonight, and I could count 100 couples sitting here tonight, bless God, that I've counseled with, and their marriage has been salvaged. Other marriages have I helped. My own marriage have I not helped. Other children have I taught. My own children have I not taught. Other churches have I helped. My own church have I not helped. Other people have I loved. My own people have I not loved. I have notes under my door today, Brother Dozens. Brother Hiles, we love you. We love you. And I want those notes. But I would rather, if you only write one note, write it to your mama. Write it to your daddy. Those who've done most for you. You see, it's easy to stand up here and kick a few microphones over and preach and it's glamorous for some of you and say, "Brother Hiles, if it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't have a school. We wouldn't have a college. But if it hadn't been for your mom and dad, we wouldn't have had a you." Other parents have I encouraged, but my own parents have I neglected. Other people have I won to Christ,
but my own people have I not won. I ask a question tonight, in what shape are your vineyards? In what shape are your vineyards? This is my vineyard here. I worked hard on my vineyard.
I've traveled across the country. I've preached 65,000 times in all across America. I've traveled in every state, and I've preached in 19 foreign countries. But bless God, this is my vineyard, and this is where I've labored. And I'll say tonight, after 40 years, glory to God, hallelujah, other vineyards have I helped, but my own vineyard I helped first.
And maybe tonight, that same little truth can apply to your life in some way. Other vineyards have I kept, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Other marriages have I helped, but my own marriage have I not helped. Other children have I taught, but my own children have I not taught. Other churches have I helped, but my own church I have not helped. Other people have I loved, but my own people I have not loved. Other bills I have paid, but my own bills I have not paid. Other parents I have appreciated, but my own parents have I not appreciated. Other people have I won to Christ, but my own people have I not won. Let's get our vineyards in shape tonight. Let's promise God tonight that the most important vineyard is going to be our own vineyard. And once we have our own vineyard in shape, then we are qualified and capable of helping somebody else's vineyard. But you listen carefully to me. Until your vineyard's in shape, you are not qualified to help anybody else in their vineyard. He said, my family got mad at me.
My brothers and sisters got mad at me. Why?
Because they made me keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. Would you bow your heads, please? I ask you tonight to ask yourself a question. In what shape is your vineyard? I'm talking about home. I'm talking about home family, home friends, home church. In what shape is your vineyard tonight? I wonder, while our heads are bowed, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. I'm going to ask you to answer to yourself. In what shape is your own vineyard tonight? In what shape is your own vineyard tonight? Now, if you don't like what you see, if you see some weeds in your vineyard, you've been chopping somebody else's, and see some weeds in yours, promise God there'll be some weed chopping done in your vineyard tonight. You see fruit that you've helped to grow in other vineyards, but your vineyard's not bearing much fruit. Make a vow to God tonight that you're going to start working on your vineyard. Our Heavenly Father, bless the simple message to our people's hearts. And this little story about me almost blew it when I was a young preacher. I became infatuated with other places, other churches, other people, other congregations. And then I saw the mistake that other preachers had made who preached around the country. I fled to this scripture. I pray that little illustration shall transfer into the lives of the people here tonight. And we ourselves will say, I'm going to work on my vineyard. My vineyard. I'll not say one day, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Shall we stand, please? The choir will...